Hey guys, welcome back to the Ronin Rabbit, a Usagi Yojimbo fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore, and this is episode 185 of the show. I'm looking at Usagi Yojimbo volume 4, issue number 25 from IDW, cover dated, or on sale date rather, January 2022. The story is Crossroads Part 1. If you want to get in touch, Teal Productions has a Facebook page, a Twitter page where you can tweet, and a Blue Sky page where you can skeet comments. I post the episodes, rather, on the Usagi Yojimbo Facebook page as well. BigTimeNoise.com/RoninRabbit is the website. Plenty of room for comments there. And UsagiPodcast@gmail.com, probably plenty of room for comments there as well. Now, Usagi Yojimbo, Volume 4, Issue 25, is created, written, illustrated, and lettered by Mr. Stan Sakai. Colored by Wi-Fi Design. If you don't have the actual book in hand and are looking for it, should have picked up the book. It's right at about 2 years ago? 3 years ago now, I guess? But it has also been reprinted in Usagi Yojimbo Book 37, entitled Crossroads, that came out November 2022. Both soft and hard covers. Although at the rate these things go, that may be kind of difficult 3 years on to find as well. The cover, we have an image of Usagi and his protege Yukichi walking away from us towards down a pathway, but in the background here is, I believe, Mount Fuji. I'm not sure if that is just for artistic expression or if this is an indication of where in Japan they are actually traveling. I don't, off the top of my head, remember seeing Fuji drawn in the story. I'll have to pay attention as I go through this time. But most importantly is someone is walking behind them or trying to sneak up behind them or something, because we see a sword point, looks like maybe about a third of a katana coming in from the side here. And that's all we see. We don't see the individual or anything like that. Also, I believe they're traveling in the fall of the year because there's a lot of browns and yellows in the bushes on the cover, at least. Moving inside the book with us, let's go. We Crossroads Part 1, and we see that Usagi and Yukichi are traveling a roadway that is quite busy. They are not the only people on the road. All kinds of anthropomorphic animals here in one scene as they're talking about how they, being Usagi and Yukichi, about how busy this roadway is. Usagi suggests taking a road less traveled. That's a reference to something. The road less traveled. I'm not sure where that comes from. Now we are at a viewpoint above them and at a three-quarter angle. In game design, I forget what this is called, but it's a definite camera technique that's used. So we see 20, 25 different individuals, as well as Usagi and Yukichi. A couple jump out. We see the woodcutters, husband and wife, over here to the side. But also, we see probably a fishmonger. He has a basket of fish on his back, and he's running to catch a young one that is carrying a large fish as well. And in running, one of the fish is popped out and is falling out of his basket as it is. So probably that happened previously. This youngster grabbed the fish and ran off. The fishmonger is now trying to catch him, and he is losing fish in the process. Ha ha ha. Humor. So Yukichi and Usagi take the road less traveled here, and they're just talking. Usagi is telling Yukichi about... First, he's reassuring Yukichi that he is pretty normal for the situation that he has come from, a sheltered sword school. So, of course, there's a lot of real-world things that maybe you are not familiar with, as would be expected. He is telling stories of his travels, first with Gen, and then finally, I believe the second story is Tomoe, about a trip with Tomoe to get some takoyaki. But before he can finish either of his stories, they see coming up on their path a group of six samurai. They're all tough. They're all scrungy-looking, scrunchy-faced. Two of them have hay stems, grass stems, sticking out of their mouth, chewing on it like, you know, a tough country boy, a tough homeboy. The one in the lead is even carrying his samurai sword thrown up over his shoulder, like you would, you know, a hobo stick or a baseball bat if you've got it up on your shoulder, you know, that kind of thing. All of them have the double swords. Interesting panels here as they approach each other. First, Usagi and Yukichi are keeping their heads down. They're not making eye contact. The bad guys are walking full face, 90 degrees parallel to the ground, you know, looking like inviting someone to make eye contact. But interesting to me is as they pass, Usagi, the bad guy leader, and Yukichi all put their thumb on their sword and click it that thumb's length out of the scabbard. And something I haven't necessarily noticed previously, but it's kind of obvious if you just take a glance at someone passing that has done this, because, you know, you're passing within just a short number of feet of each other. So you can see where the hand is. You can see what it's doing. In another panel here, we see another one of the evil samurai band has done the same thing. And I wonder if that... Okay. I understand why it's done as far as the individual wielding the sword. I wonder, though, if it is meant as a sign of don't start none, won't be none kind of thing, if you know what I mean. Yeah, that's me trying to be street. So, you know, because it's obvious that you can see what the samurai is doing. I don't know. It just struck me as I was reading this. I've never really thought of that. The equivalent in the Wild West, or I guess some parts of the U.S. even today that are open carry. If you walk past somebody, and I guess you have your, or police officers, I guess, are want to do this as well. If you have your hand on the butt of your holstered firearm, I guess that is sending the same message as this would be. You are prepared to pull the firearm if need be, but that's as far, you know, right now as you have gone. A lot of encounters, law enforcement will unclip the cover, because the cover is meant to secure, a lot of times, meant to secure the weapon. So they will pop the cover, not necessarily putting their hand on their weapon, but it's one step closer to being able to draw it fully. I wondered about that, if that's some kind of show of not strength, but, you know, preparedness to defend myself if I need to. Like I say, don't start none, won't be none kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know. Just thinking out loud there. So they pass each other. Yukichi stops a minute and says, "Phew, what an unsavory bunch." Usagi says, "Yeah," as he kind of turns and looks back to see what they're doing. "I'm glad we're going in the opposite direction than they are." "Yeah," says Yukichi. So they continue on their journey, putting the bad guys out of mind. Now we start to see the stories here. Let's see, was it Tomoe? Yeah, it was Tomoe. They went out, she and Usagi, looking for some takoyaki, which is Usagi's favorite dish, which I think we knew. It doesn't come up very often, but I think we knew that. Takoyaki being battered and grilled octopus. Never had it myself. I've had grilled octopus, boiled octopus. I've had octopus a couple different ways, but I don't believe I've ever had takoyaki. So they continue on their journey. As they proceed on later, they see a vast number of crows in the sky, and they're mulling around this particular area, it seems. And as they head on down the road, they get to this part of the road where the crows seem to be emanating from, and it's because they are scavenging a large group of dead individuals here. Maybe even there's a female in the group here too. Interesting. I didn't notice that before. But looking over the group, they find one alive, and Usagi gives him a drink and asks what happened. And the individual says that they were a religious group. They were on a temple pilgrimage. Actually, Usagi says that early on when he first sees the group. I guess because of the way they're dressed, I don't know what gave it away. But he finds one and tells them, the survivor tells Usagi that they were attacked by six devils, killed his whole group, And Usagi says, well, you can tell your story later. Let me get you to the nearest town to some help. And the guy says, no, I already can't feel my arms or my legs. I'm done for. Bye-bye. And he just dies in Usagi's arms. And then Usagi and Yukichi start thinking, six vicious devils? Yeah. Like the ones we passed? Yeah. There's nothing more we can do for these poor souls. But we can prevent others from meeting the same fate as Usagi sets the man down or perhaps drops him. Now here is something I'm curious about. I don't know that I necessarily agree with this. Immediately, Usagi and Yukichi start heading back down the pathway that they were traveling here, because that is the direction that the six samurai went, and so they are now in pursuit. But I also noticed Usagi dropped his water container here, I guess because it was empty. There's no reason, or because the dude took a drink. Yeah, I thought those were reusable. And anyway, as they continue on their little journey here, Usagi says, let's see if he says it right here. We have to hope that another traveler will discover the bodies and notify the authorities. So basically, Usagi's decision was to let these dead religious pilgrims rot in the sun. I mean, that's just the only way to put it, not trying to be too harsh about it, but he didn't try. I mean, they don't necessarily have the implements on them to bury the individuals. I understand that, but he didn't try, didn't do anything, isn't going to tell the authorities, isn't, you know, it's like, I would think the more respectful thing to do is to tell someone about these bodies, and then, if necessary, go in pursuit of the offending individuals. Physically, they might be a little bit difficult to track down, yes. But as far as their impact on society, these six dudes walking around killing people, you'll be able to track them down pretty quickly if they keep it up. And if they don't keep it up, is there a reason really to track them down? Yeah, interesting moral choices, I guess, here. Or yeah, just Usagi kind of doing some curious stuff here. Anyway, they head on down the path. Second interesting story element here. Now, they get to a split in the path. And this is not the original split that they took off of the busy roadway, because neither of the choices here in the split are busy at all. As a matter of fact, they looked very unused, much like the original track that they took detour off the busy roadway. So we didn't see this coming up and then decide once again which way do we want to go, left or right. But here all of a sudden it's here because it fits into the story the way that Mr. Sakai is writing the story. So this was struck me as kind of odd also, that it comes up when you're going in one direction, but on the same roadway it doesn't come up going the other direction. Or yeah, I don't know, just struck me as curious. But they decide to break up. What they're going to do is each pick a side and go about two ri, I believe is how it's pronounced, ri, each one being about 2 kilometers. So Usagi is saying go about 4 kilometers, or let's see, no, one ri is 4, so 2 ri would be 8. So they go about 8 kilometers, and then if they don't see anything, they both turn back and head back to the fork and take the other fork. So they'll meet one way or another if they both go down, stop, come back, and switch sides. So no discernment as to why whom takes which way or whatever. They just split up. Usagi takes one path and Yukichi takes the other. Then we start seeing images bouncing back and forth through the rest of the story about what the two encounter on their paths. First, Yukichi. He's walking, starting to feel the 8 kilometers. Being a cartographer, I should know that. It's about 5 miles, but I had to look it up. So 8 kilometers is about 5 miles. So Yukichi's starting to feel that. He's been walking. He and Usagi both have been walking all day, plus now they've taken this. I would suspect that once they broke up, they're probably even walking a little quicker than their normal gait would be. So Yukichi stumbles on an individual with the requisite Sakai skull in the speech bubble, thought bubble, whatever kind of bubble you want, death bubble, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. And he's checking the dude out, but it's a samurai whose visage and body is frozen into what he says is a state of terror. And not they're not just dead, but they have the mask of terror that is frozen. And the body is river cold, he says. He's been dead a very long time. River cold. I've never heard that. He was not killed by the six devils, but then who? And at this point, Yukichi hears something and turns toward it, you know, coming from that direction. And that is the point at which we flip to Usagi's pathway. He's walking down and he encounters a duo, one of which is dead and one of which the survivor is in shock. And Usagi has to shock him out of his shock so that he can speak. Find out that he is a merchant and his assistant is who was killed. The six samurai took everything they had and killed his servant, his assistant. But most importantly, everything that he had to sell has been stolen. So now he has no way to make money. He's ruined, etc., etc. Usagi says, well, that's okay, buddy. I'll find them and avenge you. And the merchant is like, you can't go after them alone. They're devils, fierce, sadistic devils. You can't win against them. But, of course, Usagi soldiers on. Cut back to Yukichi. We see in the background the samurai that he found dead. And sure enough, what is that? He says out loud. Yeah, he's not thinking. He's speaking out loud here. Yukichi, what is that? Music? A flute? A strange tuneless melody. Okay, now let's think back. Usagi's pantheon of characters. Who uses music as their foil? As soon as it was music, I realized who Yukichi, unfortunately, was going to encounter. But he doesn't know because he hasn't run into them yet. So he's following the music through various aspects of the forest and pathway here that Mr. Sakai has an opportunity to draw very well, colored very well. I am missing the black and white, though, I will say. Over the years, and particularly because of the usage of color, Mr. Sakai's artwork, I think, has gotten a lot more open than what it was at one time. Be that as it may. Not my personal preference, but it's certainly not enough to make me stop reading this awesome book by this creator. Tokage jumps out and scares him. Tokage runs off going, eek! And Yukichi, as he's reaching for a sword, which he's reaching for it with one hand, but he has his thumb over the tsuba holding the sword in the scabbard. So I thought that was kind of an interesting combination there. Tsuba being that ring that sticks out from around the sword. I think the intent is to keep your hand from sliding on down onto the actual business end of the sword. The tsuba, the ring. Yeah. One of the early main characters in Usagi used a tsuba as an eye patch, too. I thought that was cool. The music is much louder. It's coming from this clearing, Yukichi said, and he parts the clearing and he sees an individual sitting on a down log playing a flute. He walks up behind the individual and says, are you all right, child? You should not be here alone. There could be great danger. Keeps playing. Child? Keeps playing. Usagi now is just staring at her. Keeps playing. And then finally she puts the flute down and turns and looks at him, and we see that it is Kiko. Yukichi asks, are you injured, child? She just looks at him for a moment and then smiles and holds up the flute. She says, do you like my flute? What? Yeah, I like your flute. Your tune was very melancholy, but it spoke to my heart. I like my flute very much. My uncle gave it to me. She's sounding kind of scattered to me, which, of course, she is. He took it off that dead thing. Dead thing? Do you mean the dead samurai on the road? Yes, that's it. My uncle killed it because it was evil, as she puts the flute back up to play. Very nonchalant. And Yukichi is thinking, there is definitely something wrong with this child. I'm called Yamamoto Yukichi. What is your name, child? She's playing. I am Kiko, playing. Where is your uncle, Kiko? Why did he just leave you here? He didn't abandon me, silly. He's right behind you, she says, grinning. And we turn and see that it is the very smiling, evil visage of Jay. Very menacing looking. And Jay is laughing. And the exclamation point question mark speech bubble is over Yukichi's head. Hello, uncle. We just see the speech bubble coming out above trees in this panel, and obviously that's Kiko speaking. To be continued next month. And that's all we have for this issue. So we have the return of Jay and Kiko. We have the first meeting between those two and Yukichi. Unfortunately, things probably are going to get... Although, there's only two parts to the story, so... I'm not quite sure exactly what's going to happen, because Usagi isn't going to be back for a while, because he's still got pursuit going, active pursuit, against the Six Samurai. But Yukichi maybe is going to need some help, particularly if Jay realizes his relationship to Usagi. Maybe he won't, or she won't. I forget which gender Jay is. So, Usagi won't be able to get there in time to be of much help if help is going to be needed. So I'm very curious as to find out what happens in the second part of the story. Now, of course, it is very possible that the story is about the samurai, and this encounter with Jay and Yukichi is the next story. That's always possible. But still yet, I'm interested to see how this is going to be handled via storytelling. So, in review there, our Dramatis Personae, which I should have gotten into this beforehand, but were Miyamoto Usagi and Yamamoto Yukichi traveling around. We do have a slight cameo. I believe it was of the woodcutters. I believe that's who that was. And then we have Kiko and Jay, and we have this little band of samurai. We don't know much about them or who they are or anything. Probably, they are quasi-important to the story. They kind of are the story. But now, with Kiko and Yukichi being introduced, you know, maybe not so much. We'll have to see. As far as words, Tokagi is thrown out there. Samurai is thrown out there. We're both familiar with those. Takoyaki, which is a battered and grilled octopus, and a ri, which is a measure of distance of 1 ri is 4 kilometers. So that's, about 2.5 miles. And that is all, except for the fact that next episode of the show, I'll be looking at Usagi Yojimbo Volume 3, issue number 68 from Dark Horse Comics, that published on or around July of 2003. Catch you guys next time. Ciao.